भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, entitled Hiranyakashipu, Terrorizes the Universe. So today's text 31 and 32. And text 31 is on the board. Brahmanya Sila Sampana Satya Sandho Jitendriya Atmavat Sarva Bhutanam Eka Priya Surittamam Brahmanya Sila Sampanam Satya Sandho Jitendriya Atmavat Sarva Bhutanam Eka Priya Surittamah Brahmanya Sila Sampana Satya Sandho Jitendriya Atmavat Sarva Bhutanam Eka Priya Surittamah Brahmanya Sila Sampanam Satya Sandho Jitendriya Atmavat Sarva Bhutanam Eka Priya Surittamah Matajis? Okay. So text number 32, which is not on the board. I'll just read it on my own. Dasavat sanatariyangrihi pitrivat dinavat salaha brirat vrat sadrishesnikto guru sveshvara bhavana vidyatarupa janmadhyo manastamba vivarjitaha. So we'll do the word for word for the first verse that we recited together. You can repeat after me. Brahmanyam. Cultured as a good Brahmana. Sila Sampana. Possessing all good qualities. Satya Sandaha. Determined to understand the absolute truth. Jita Indriya. Fully controlling the senses and mind. Atmavat. Like the super soul. Sarvabhutanam. Of all living entities. Ekapriya. The one beloved. Surittamaha. The best friend. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The qualities of Maharaj Prahlad, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described here with. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmana, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the super soul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. And to his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers as spiritual masters and older God brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. Purport. These are some of the qualifications of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana because a Vaishnava has all the good qualities of a Brahmana. Samodhamastapasocham shantir ajavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Quote. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness, these are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. Unquote from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 42. These qualities are manifest in the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, a perfect Vaishnava is also a perfect Brahmana, as indicated here by the words Pramanya Sila Sampana. A Vaishnava is always determined to understand the Absolute Truth, and to understand the Absolute Truth, one needs to have full control over his senses and mind. Prahlad Maharaj possessed all these qualities. A Vaishnava is always a well-wisher to everyone. The six Goswamis, for example, are described in this way: Dira Adira Jana Priya. They were popular with both the gentle and the ruffians. A Vaishnava must be equal to everyone, regardless of one's position. Atmavat, a Vaishnava should be like Paramatma. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Rid Desha Arjuna Tisthati. Paramatma does not hate anyone. Indeed, he is in the heart of a Brahmana, but he is also even in the heart of a pig. As the moon never refuses to distribute its pleasing rays even to the home of a chandala, a Vaishnava never refuses to act for everyone's welfare. Therefore, a Vaishnava is always obedient to the spiritual master, Arya. The word Arya refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. One who is deficient in knowledge cannot be called Arya. At the present, however, the word Arya is used to refer to those who are godless. This is the unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga. The word Guru refers to the spiritual master who initiates his disciple into advancement in the science of Krishna or Krishna consciousness, as stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sri Bhagavan, Mantro Pa De Shake Guruv Iti Arthaha. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada was having difficulties in following nicely the regulative principles and chanting his rounds like that. So he approached Srila Prabhupada not with the difficulty that he is having like that. He approached Srila Prabhupada and said, "Srila Prabhupada, I respect you, And Srila Prabhupada, you know, you're the greatest personality in my life. In other words, he was glorifying Srila Prabhupada, like that. So after he stopped, he was waiting for a few moments for Srila Prabhupada to respond, like that. And then Srila Prabhupada told him that, I do not expect and I do not demand any respect from anyone, like that. But it appears that wherever I go, I am being honored and given all respect, like that. So when I heard this anecdote with this devotee, like that, and while I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, like that, Prabhupada says these exact words in the fourth canto. It's very amazing that whatever he writes in his purports, he exhibits in his personal behavior. You know, whatever is internal is the same externally. It's not that he is one thing inside and a different thing outside, like that. And you can read these words. It's in the fourth canto in chapter 9 in text 47 purport. You know, where he says that a devotee of the Lord does not demand respect from anyone. But wherever he goes, he is honored by everyone throughout the world with all respect. Like that. See? So this devotee was, you could say, a bit shaken by Prabhupada's response to him, like that. And end up being sort of new and being not so experienced in Krishna consciousness, like that, he left the room and he went outside and he was discussing with his god brothers this exchange with Srila Prabhupada, like that. So several of his god brothers told him, Srila Prabhupada knows that you are a nonsense. He said, but I didn't tell him. Like that. So they said that you don't need to tell Srila Prabhupada. You don't need to tell Srila Prabhupada. Just the fact that you put on a show that you're respecting him and honoring him is enough for him to know that you are a nonsense. It's enough for him to know, like that. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada replied to you, I do not need and I do not demand any respect from anyone. So you haven't caught that when Srila Prabhupada told you that. So then the conversation between them became a little bit more interesting. You know? So this devotee was very, very philosophically intelligent, although not following nicely. See? Although not following nicely. So the devotee started discussing with his god brothers, you know, Shakshad harit vena nasamasa sastre uktasya tadba vyata eva sadbi. That the spiritual master should be honored and given the same respect as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which Prabhupada says in the purport that Prahlad Maharaj was doing to his spiritual masters, to his god brothers and his elders and so forth in the purport here. Prabhupada says that. So this devotee was highly philosophically trained, highly philosophically intelligent in Krishna consciousness. Like that. See? So then another devotee told him that, I was just honoring Srila Prabhupada. I was respecting him and glorifying him. But why did Srila Prabhupada tell me like this? You know, like that. So another devotee who was there told him, yes, it is the duty of a disciple to honor and respect the spiritual master. That's the scripture. It's the duty. That's the scripture. Like that. But the devotee told him that any fool can do that. Any foolish person can even do that. See? Like this morning I was sitting on this side and just, you know, chanting my Gayatri and then, you know, preparing to do japa. Like that. So many people were walking past. They are not really practicing devotees. Like that, see? Like that. But they came to touch my feet and honor me and respect me. You understand? So any fool can do that. Any fool can do that. It's a type of etiquette. So this devotee is telling him. Okay. So then the devotee told him something very, very, like, you could say, succinct and precise, like that. Because he knew that this other devotee who went to Srila Prabhupada is very, very high level shastric and philosophical. Like that. Very high level. He gives even good talks and good lectures and so forth. Like that. But you'll never know that he's not following nicely. Like that, see? So this other devotee told him that the Krishna consciousness is, he put it very nicely, Krishna consciousness is masquerading as philosophy. Okay. But actual Krishna consciousness means that you develop love for the spiritual master, you develop love for Krishna, you develop love for the devotees, and you develop love for non-devotees who are suffering due to not being Krishna conscious, preaching. Like that. So this devotee told him that. So he told him that Krishna consciousness is masquerading as a philosophy, but actually it is not. It is not like that. It is simply loving all the living entities in relationship to Krishna. That is all. That's called bhakti or devotional service. So the other devotee was like stumped, you know? Was stumped. And I said, but I know the philosophy, you know, and so forth, but why are you telling me this? He said, I will not tell you this, but I'm just letting you know that Prabhupada eventually will tell you this. Like that. So then Srila Prabhupada later on, he called some of his disciples in the room, a sort of, like you could say, in one sense, spontaneous darshan. Spontaneous darshan. So the devotees came into the room and this other devotee was also there. You know, who went to Srila Prabhupada, who's very sharp philosophically and shastrically. Like that. See? So Srila Prabhupada told the devotees that something to the effect that the way to develop love for the gopis' love for Krishna. The way to develop love for the gopis' love for Krishna is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Like that. See? And then Srila Prabhupada further on said that the gopis were simply village girls. Like that. Even when Garga Muni and Garga Acharya came to, you know, Vrajadam, you know, came to Brajmandala, like that. Everyone used to go and used to hear Garga Muni speak. You know, he was the actual Purohit or priest who named Krishna and Balaram. Like that. See? But Garga Muni knows that these Brijbasis are simply using him and he is feeling love for them, but he has to do his duty as a Purohit or a priest because he is very learned, very scholarly. Like that. See? So, when he used to speak to the Brijbasis at times, like that, Garga Muni, like that, the young girls who were the gopis, it is out of etiquette that they used to sit right at the back. Okay. But when Garga Muni was speaking, philosophy, who's Narayan, who's the incarnations and so forth, when he was speaking philosophy, these girls were getting bored and they became fidgety. Like that, see? And then the mothers used to tell them, "Hey, Muni is speaking. You know, Baba is speaking. Saintly person is speaking." They were not, that they were not interested. Like that. Not that they were not interested. Simply what he was speaking is in the way of their love for Krishna. You understand? Simply because what he was speaking is in the way of their love for Krishna. But out of respect, they had to sit through this entire discourse or talk or lecture. Like that. See? In that sense. Like that. So the gopis' love for Krishna is very simple. And the simplicity of that love is called madhurya. That simplicity of the love is called the sweetness of loving Krishna. In that sense, like that. Now, we're going to discuss a little further of the difference between the devotee and Krishna. Like that. We know that in the Lord's beauty, Krishna's beauty, is actually compared to rainfall. When the rain falls in the rainy season, like now, like that. And when the rainfall falls during the summertime, like now, it is most pleasing to the people, like that. So that, because after the scorching heat of the summer season, people enjoy the rainy season very, very much, like that. So Srila Prabhupada said that sometimes they even come out of their doors in the villages and they like to go into the rain and just get wet. It's so pleasing and enjoyable in that sense. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada said, therefore the Lord's bodily features, his form, Swayam Rupa, is compared to the clouds of the rainy season in that sense. And the devotees enjoy the Lord's beauty because it is the collection of all beauties. Sarva, Sondarya, Sangraha. It's a collection of all beauties in that sense. So therefore, no one can say that the body of the Lord is wanting or is lacking in any beauty. It is completely purnam, completely complete, like that. Now, both the materialists and the spiritualists, they come to enjoy the beauty of the Lord. Like that. We know, you know, lakhs of people came for your Janmashtami, right? Like that. But practically all of them, besides the practicing devotees, are in one sense or the other sinful. Like that. And even some of them are probably quite demoniac. But they'll come on the occasion of Janmashtami just to enjoy the beauty of the Lord. Like that. Now, the Supreme Lord, He attracts everyone. Krishna attracts both the demons and the devotees, or both the materialist and the spiritualist. He attracts everyone. Like that. So therefore, Prabhupada says, He is called Krishna. He is not just called Krishna for the devotees. He is called Krishna because He attracts everyone. And not only the human form of life. You know, Krishna even attracts the birds, the trees, you know, all species of life. So therefore, He is called Krishna in that way. Like that. Now, similarly, Srila Prabhupada says that the devotees of the Lord, they also attract everyone. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the six Goswamis. Dira adira jana priya priyo karo. They were dear both to the diras, the devotees, and the adiras. And Prabhupada says that adiras means demons. They were attractive to both the devotees and the demons. Then Srila Prabhupada says, although Krishna is attractive to everyone, like that, but there is a difference. Krishna is attractive to the demons, but Krishna is not pleased with the demons. See? Whereas the devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, if somebody does not become a devotee, he is not displeased. He is not displeased. So the devotees are always pleasing and pleased with the devotees and the demons. Whereas Krishna is not. They may be attracted to Krishna, but Krishna is not pleased with them. Especially, Srila Prabhupada says, when he was in Vrindavan, he is not pleased with them. And the reason Krishna is not pleased with the demons or the non-devotees is because they give trouble to the devotees. That is why he is not pleased. But if the demons and the non-devotees don't give trouble to the devotees and leave them alone, then Krishna says, okay. You're all right. In that sense, like that. So this is the beauty of the Lord's dealings, you could say, with the devotees. And the Lord's dealings with the devotees indicates that although He kills the demons, but the devotees do not kill the demons. They still try very hard to purify by the preaching and try to make them devotees. Like that. So this is the fundamental difference between the Lord and the devotees of the Lord. Like that. So then Srila Prabhupada used to say, in that way, the devotees are more merciful than Krishna. And therefore, that is the principle consciousness or feature deep in the core of a devotee's heart. That although if the devotee is attacked, he will not retaliate. If the devotee is insulted, he will not retaliate. If somebody doesn't want to take to Krishna consciousness and is trying to make them a devotee, he is not attached to the result of his preaching. And he still goes on through compassion in the deep recesses of his heart to give Krishna consciousness to others. And this is Prahlad Maharaj. you know, para dukkha dukhi. Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore, and this is Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, sometimes, or maybe for some people, I'm talking about devotees, we suffer so much. We go through pains, we go through mental illness, we go through stress, we go through depression, and we go through, you could say in one sense, you know, getting trouble from other devotees. From a non-devotee you can understand, but if you're troubled by another devotee and you get depressed or stressed, that probably is more painful. That's it? Yeah. So now, for a devotee, when it becomes or she becomes absorbed in his own suffering due to the external actions of others, then one reduces one's compassionate nature in one's heart. You know, it is as if, you know, it is as if that why this is happening to you, why I'm feeling so much pain, why I'm feeling so much depression or stress, as if the whole world is crumbling down on you. And like nobody else is suffering more than you. You know, why cannot somebody help me? Like that. See? When one feels like that, then one is not tuning in or entering into the consciousness of Srila Prabhupada. And one is not tuning and entering into the consciousness of great personalities like Prahlad Maharaj, for that matter Namacharya Haridas Thakur, or for that matter the Pandavas who went through great trials and tribulations but never felt that way. But never ever felt that way. So therefore the more we, you could say, become conditioned into our own feeling of self-pity or self-sympathy, that why I'm suffering, even as a devotee, then you're reducing your, you could say, that the highest feature of love in the material world. You're reducing your sense of compassion more and more to almost nil. Now the only solution is the consciousness of Prahlad Maharaj. And the compassionate nature of Prahlad Maharaj is the incarnation, you could say, of Srila Prabhupada's compassion and consciousness. Like that. And the only solution to that is that the more we feel the sufferings of others, the less we feel our own suffering. And the more you feel the sufferings of others due to them suffering not to be Krishna conscious, then it'll come to the degree in your own heart, almost to nil, you won't feel any suffering in this world. And that is the feature of the topmost level of Krishna Prema in this material world, which is absent and not there in Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, not because Krishna wants to kill the demons. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as Krishna not to kill the demons. And therefore he came in the consciousness of a devotee. So the consciousness of a devotee in terms of the compassionate nature, which is the highest feature of love, is far greater than the Lord himself, Krishna himself. So therefore Krishna is so merciful, you know, nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that, look, Arjuna, I could kill these people in one moment, like that. But You are a perfect instrument in the fight, so therefore I have arranged this so that you can take the credit for the victory in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Like that. So the Lord arranges that because He knows that He can kill the demons anyway. Like that. But in Krishna consciousness, everything is happening due to the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the credit does not go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada says. The credit goes to the servants and the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like that. So one time, one disciple, he approached Srila Prabhupada. Like that. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, practically you are the only one who has fulfilled the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Prithiviti Acharadi Nagaradi Gram Sarvatma Prachar Hoiba Moranam. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada responded in two humble tones of consciousness. Srila Prabhupada does not have to think of responding. He naturally responds like that. He said, I am only composed of the mercy of the instructions of my spiritual master. You know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who gave me the instruction to leave India and preach all over the world, especially in the English speaking language. Like that. Then the disciple knew that, you know, this is Srila Prabhupada's utter and deep humility, and it is his natural consciousness. Like that. So this devotee happened to be a German, coming from Germany, you know, who like glorified Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Then Srila Prabhupada said, you know, I come from Bengal. And my mother tongue is Bengali. You know, English is a foreign language to me. Like that. And he said, I translated into English, but because people in the Western world, their first language is English, and they edited my translations and they made it better. See, they made it better. So he said, without them, I couldn't have presented this in the language of English because they edited my works. Like that. And then he said, yes, and the first one was Hayagriva. He remembered him. Right? And he said he was an English professor, Professor Howard Wheeler. And he came forth and he started editing my work. See? And he said, just see, English is not my first language, but I'm translating into English from Bengali and from Sanskrit. But Professor Howard Wheeler, Hayagriva Das, came forward and he helped me to polish it, to present to you all. He's glorifying Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he's glorifying his disciples. And he said, you are German. I don't speak German. I don't speak German. Like that. He never took any credit for himself, Srila Prabhupada. I don't speak German. He said, because you know English and you know German, so therefore you and your people in Germany have translated this Bhagavad Gita as it is into the German language, which I cannot do. Like that. So the devotee was completely bewildered that Prabhupada was speaking. But Prabhupada, without your English translation, we could not put in German. Prabhupada said, no. And there's so many letters of Prabhupada that my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sent you all to me. I may have initiated you as my disciple, but actually my Guru Maharaj sent you all to me. Like that. See? And then Srila Prabhupada said, what is this Prithiviti Acharadi Nagaradi Gram Sarvatma Prachar Vaibhamaranam. I just went to New York and to San Francisco and to Montreal and to some places in South America. I went to London. I went to Hamburg at one time in Germany and so forth. I went to Australia. That's all right, he said. But I haven't fulfilled the prediction of every town and village. I have left it to all of you to take the credit. To take the credit. Like that. See? So when I heard this anecdote, I started going to new places. Like that. Last year I went to a country called Malawi in Africa. It's a landlocked country. Small, very underdeveloped country with about 15 million people. Maybe 20 million or so. Like that. So this year, I thought, you know, if Prabhupada suffered so much, let me suffer at least and do something for whatever it's worth. Like that. This year I went to a country called Rwanda. You heard of the genocide from 15, 20 years ago? Rwanda. And when I entered into Kigali, the capital in Rwanda, I was shocked. You know what shocked me? The capital city of Kigali is so developed, it's better than Europe and America. The roads, infrastructure, super clean. I was shocked. Is this like Africa? No. Super clean. And 60% of the population are vegetarian. That's another shocking thing. Because they belong to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They're all vegetarians. There are no slaughterhouses in Rwanda. And there's no corruption and bribery from the top to the bottom. They don't allow any synthetic plastic bags. Their waterfalls, their rivers, it's made up of 1,000 hills. All super clean. I thought, this is Rwanda? After the genocide 15, 20 years ago? Like that. So it's quite amazing. We are not even registered as ISKCON there yet. But we have to go to new places. We have to get Prabhupada's mercy. We have to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are nothing. We just have to get the mercy and go and spread Krishna consciousness. Right here in Mumbai, there's many places we haven't been, right? Yeah. So try to do that. Yeah. The more you feel the sufferings of others, the more your own suffering is gone. The more your own suffering is gone, in that sense. So this is the full consciousness of Prahlad Maharaj, that he didn't even see his father as a demon, although his own father was trying to kill him. Like that. And Srila Prabhupada himself said that even if somebody tries to kill me, just like how they tried to kill Namacharya Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur pretended to die so that those people from the Muslim, you know, ruler, you know, they will not be killed. They said, I'm saving you, in his own consciousness, I'm saving you not to be killed because you cannot kill me. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada is the same. We have to put sort of all personal agendas and personal sort of aggrandizement and personal issues aside. And the moment you enter and feel the sufferings of others because they're not Krishna conscious, your own suffering disappears completely. We're not requesting you to take sannyas or something, but that's the mood of every follower. and of every servant of Srila Prabhupada in that way. Thank you very much. We have 5 minutes for questions, if you have anyone else has questions.
Hare Krishna.
You already have the microphone, you always do. Go ahead. I'm with you.
This is my service. This is a service.
Service. You want some service?
Asking the question.
No. You want some service or you want to be philosophical?
No. I want to have clarification.
You want to have?
Clarification regarding...
For service or just the clarification?
You will come
to
know.
I know you very well.
You will come to know by my question.
I know you very well. You want to do service or you want a philosophical clarification and that's it? Answer my question.
Philosophical clarity.
Huh?
Philosophical clarity.
I don't know philosophy.
No, understanding is required.
I only know that I have to engage in some service. So if you're asking a question to engage in service, that would be better. But still, I'm here to serve you. What's your question?
There's 4 regulative principles.
The whole?
4 regulative principles are heavily violated all over the world.
Go slowly.
Four regulative principles which we follow.
Can you put the microphone a little away from your mouth?
Regulative principles that we follow.
4 principles that we
follow.
Try to follow. Yeah.
The rest of the world is advancing in those directions, not following.
The rest of the world is
advancing in the opposite direction. They are breaking those.
They are going opposite direction. Yeah. So what are you doing about it?
So, like India, before say even 25 years.
Yes.
There were not so many wine shops, meat shops.
Yes.
Right. So those things are also advancing in every town and village.
Yes.
So
why? You're asking why?
Yeah.
Good. Srila Prabhupada was here in Mumbai. Take the microphone away from him. Because he may ask another question from the follower. I'm going to conclude with this. Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada was here in Mumbai, and one very wealthy industrialist approached him. He very much appreciated Srila Prabhupada taking Sanatana Dharma to all over the world. Very much appreciated. He was like a genuine well-wisher of Srila Prabhupada, like that. So he asked Srila Prabhupada a question. He said, Srila Prabhupada, India, the land of Dharma, right, has produced so many great Mahatmas. Then Srila Prabhupada stopped him and he said, who are they? So he said, this Baba, that Rama, Krishna, that person, and so forth, contemporary people within the last 200 years, contemporary people. India has produced so many Mahatmas, and is naming all these people who are not Mahatmas in Prabhupada's eyes. Like that. See? So then Srila Prabhupada said, are they Mahatmas? Are they great personalities? Are they great saintly people? He said, yes. Of course, you don't blame him because he's in ignorance of who's actually a Mahatma, although he's a big man. Big man. Like that. Then Srila Prabhupada said, I know who is great souls and Mahatmas. Then Prabhupada immediately said the first name. It said, Sankaracharya. Then he said, Nimbaka Acharya. Then he said, Vishnu Swami. Then he said, Madhavacharya. Then he said, Ramanujacharya. And then he said, eventually, he said, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, this man may not have accepted that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but these are great personalities. Then Srila Prabhupada said, we may differ who you think is a great soul and a sadhu in India, and I may differ with you, but go on, whatever you to say. So then he said, Swamiji, India has produced the greatest saints, the greatest sadhus, you know, the greatest vairagis, the greatest tapasvis. India has produced. But why is India suffering? Why is the Western world making so much progress? There's no poverty practically. They're materially opulent and so forth. But why is India suffering? You want to know? You ready? And Srila Prabhupada said, just as India produced the greatest saints and mahatmas, India also produced the greatest demons. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Yatai Gaur Premanande.